Before we begin today's show, how does 25-year-old two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo get drafted 15th overall in a weak draft class? Adrian Wojnarowski invests the twists and turns that led to a franchise and league-altering selection in 2013. It's a three-part series that tells this unique story and includes interviews with all the individuals close to the process, as well as a one-on-one sit-down with Giannis himself. Check out the Woj Pod Special, The Giannis Draft, wherever you get your podcasts. Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which this is part two of the Low Post Hoop Collective crossover that we're doing this week. And we're recording this on Tuesday evening. Zach, we recorded last night relatively late, but it wasn't late enough. And I don't know what late enough would have been. I think it would have had to have been 1 or 2 in the morning. Now, I know you went to sleep because and I want to know what happened when you woke up and you saw everything that the Milwaukee Bucks had done. Take me through your experience.
So I had had a very, I was super low on sleep, super low, which was a mistake going into this week. And so I wrote a big Harden column yesterday and we got to about 11 o'clock. And I thought, I know some stuff is buzzing, but I'm going to take my chances. And I'm going to try to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep. And I tossed and turned for a bit, and I woke up at like 1:30, and the Drew thing had already happened. And then I was like, well, I guess I'm just up now for a while and trying to figure out what's going on. So I was up trying not to wake up the house. And this is a very familiar experience. Same thing has happened with Kawhi and PG in the summer of whatever it was, and 2019, I guess. And then I was just working, and then I stole a couple more hours of sleep earlier in the morning, and then back at it again. So yeah, the Bucks made us burn the midnight oil, but it was quite a night in Milwaukee, that's for sure.
So I have no idea whether or how much this will hold up. So bear with us; we're trying our best. So it wasn't quite Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, which all came together so fast, relatively late. I was on the West Coast at the time, so it wasn't that late, but I think it was pretty late out East. But it was a pretty big move. I think you and I had both talked about Bogdanovich maybe being a Buck. So it's a bit of a surprise in the fact that free agency doesn't start till Friday and a free agent deal has already been done, but we'll leave that alone. Let the league handle that. But Drew Holiday.
I don't know about you. I can't sleep at night, Brian. I can't sleep at night knowing that someone has jumped the gun. I can't.
Well,
I won't stand for it, and I can't stand for it, and my whole day has been ruined.
Somebody was complaining to me about it today, you know, an executive, and I was like, who's going to file the tampering charge? Sacramento? Sacramento's participating in the sign and trade.
So, good point. Maybe a team that might have had interest in signing Bogdanovich to an offer sheet.
That's true. But I think you have to pay for a tampering investigation. You think it's worth it?
you got to really love Bogdan Bogdanovich. And I do. I like Bogdan. And he, as you said, he has been one of the apples of their eyes in Milwaukee for quite a while now.
Yeah. So the Bucks are operating with what's the correct verb?
You're asking me for a verb? You just have to ask me to name a verb?
No. Yeah. Go. What's the correct verb for the way the Bucks are operating? They're operating under the belief that Giannis is going to resign. It is not 100%, but they don't do these deals unless they feel really good about it. They feel better about it now than they did before. And I think some people feel like these deals are being done to woo Giannis. I don't think that's happening, Zach. I think the Bucks are operating with knowledge. And they're doing these, knowing that these players they're acquiring are going to be with them for the foreseeable future with Giannis alongside them. Whether or not that's a mistake, we'll see. But I think there's a lot of excitement in Milwaukee, and I think there's a lot of excitement within the Giannis group right now, and I think the momentum will continue.
I think it's both. I would put it like this. The deals were meant, they were operating with, we've both written, I think, that the Bucks have been confident, and from my perspective, almost startlingly confident about Giannis signing some kind of deal with them, whether it's the Supermax or something shorter, for quite a while now, more confident than I was, frankly. I bet, I didn't bet money, but I bet very, because I think you have to try. I bet very tentatively that he would not sign the Supermax this summer. What I meant by that was, and again, very tentatively, I said, I don't know what he's going to do, but you force a gun to my head, I would bet he doesn't sign the Supermax, the five-year Supermax. But they've been confident he's going to sign something. I've taken note of that confidence. I've downloaded it for months now. I've digested it. But I also think that confidence was not anything close to certainty, anything close to 100%. And I don't think it precluded them from feeling we have to do something to up our confidence level from, let's say, 75% to wherever you think it is today, 90, 95, 85, 93.7. I don't know. So I think it can be both. I think it can be wooing, but wooing from a position of strength that was probably more confident than certainly I was and a lot of outsiders were.
But I'm just saying, like, I see people saying, oh my God, they just traded all these picks for Drew Holiday, who's got 1 year left on his contract, and Giannis has 1 year left on his contract. This could explode in their face. They just traded for Bogdanovich. He's going to be their best player when both these guys walk in a year. I suppose that's possible, but they are operating like, A, Giannis is re-signing, B, Drew Holiday, which he can't do until February. Drew Holiday is going to extend. They believe that.
But you don't give up three picks and two swaps if you don't believe it.
Of course. And Bogdanovich is coming to Milwaukee to play with Giannis. And Bogdanovich and Giannis have been communicating with each other. I don't think Giannis lets Bogdanovich come. I agree that it's not done. Nothing's done. You know, as far as I know, as of today at least, Giannis, I think, was still in Greece. So until he can sign it in Greece. Remember when Boris Diaw signed his contract on a yacht in the Mediterranean?
Of course Boris Diaw did that. That's probably the third most fun Boris Diaw contract signing story if we actually right. dug into all of them.
I mean, Giannis could sign his contract in Greece, but I mean, the assumption is when he comes back, he will, you know, bless this. It's a hell of a move by the Bucks. Where do you think this team, before we know what the Brooklyn Nets are going to be, when you look at this team, when you look at a starting five of, you know, Bogdan Bogdanovich, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, Drew Holiday, what is that team to you?
Well, first of all, that's all I see is a starting five.
Well, they've only got seven guys under contract.
They have a couple more guys who are probably not going to be part of the rotation. I love the starting five is dynamite. It's interesting because it's very switchable other than Lopez. So it opens the door for a little more schematic flexibility, except at the position where you need the most schematic flexibility on defense. They're going to need another player or two to get to the Giannis at center lineups, which I think should be a big part of their rotation. They're obviously going to have, I think they have about $15 million. If you write in about 17, 18 for Bogdanovich, which is my assumption is going to be around there. They have about, you think higher?
Lower?
Lower. If it's below 15, I'll be surprised. You think lower than 15?
I think that's the ballpark.
Okay. Well, whatever it is, they don't have much before they hit the hard cap, which now applies to them, about 15, 16, 17 million. And they got to fill a lot of spots. And it's interesting because they've upgraded their shooting. Although I think Bogdanovich in this role will be a very good shooter. I think Drew Holiday is not as good a shooter as people think he is playing off of Giannis. He'll probably be a little better, obviously better than Eric Bledsoe. But they didn't get, I mean, Bogdanovich and Holiday are good creators, right? They're not traditional point guards, although that has been a role that Drew Holiday has tried to be, teams have tried to shoehorn him into that role with not much success. I think he's more of a combo guard, better off the ball. So, you know, when push comes to shove, Middleton, Bogdanovich, Holiday, they have a lot of good secondary third ball handler types. they didn't really get. I mean, this is why people were sort of fixated on the Chris Paul thing, which as I've reported, as you reported weeks ago, like we both have reported this several times, I think, there was never any traction to it. There was never any talks, really, to my knowledge. It was never a thing, was never going to be a thing. But that's why people fixated on it. It's like, is there someone on the ball handling hierarchy above Giannis late in games? And I don't think they found that, but certainly that starting five is going to be absolutely dynamite. I trust them to fill out a bench. And they have some interesting options to do that. So yeah, I mean, I think as of now, which is as of now really doesn't mean anything. You know, you mentioned what the Nets might do, other teams will do stuff, but as of now, they probably enter, you know, at the same perch they stopped last season at, which is the favorites to get the number one seed in the East, which no one's gonna throw you a party anymore if you get the number one seed in the East in Milwaukee.
Right. So I will say this. They have some work to do on their roster. According to Bobby Marks, Bobby is planning on Bogdanovich to sign a contract that starts about $15 million a year. And that leaves them about $12.5 million left under the hard. The reason they're hard capped is because when you receive a player in a sign and trade, you are hard capped. So they have I think they have about $12.5 million. So they have to fill out a roster. They have to sign six players, I believe, for $12.5 million. And they need some depth there. So they're going to have to do some work. Pat Connaughton is a free agent. I think they'd like to bring him back, but you can't really pay him much more than the minimum. But the reason this is relevant.
By the way, a couple of teams with cap room have asked me about Pat Connaughton in the past 2 weeks in a way that leads me to believe that they're not opposed to paying him. Not a lot, but enough that it cuts deep into that $12 million. Not deep, but like enough that it's a fair 5-6. I don't know what the number is, but
let me tell you why this is remarkable. Because yesterday, Robin Lopez surprisingly opted out of his $5 million, which would have left them only $7 million to fill these spots.
That's right.
What do we think of that?
Players don't make decisions like that typically unless they have something lined up that they like better. Or I guess there's always a chance that he loves Milwaukee. He loves playing with his brother. He'll do whatever it takes to be there. I don't really know.
Okay. So anyway, they've got some work to do. But one of the things I will tell you this. I mean, they did not trade for – I mean, Drew Holiday has been an all-star. He is he's exactly the type of player they needed. He's not an all-star currently, but he's a very high character guy. But they have assets, like, you know, if this doesn't work, they have assets that they could trade. So while they are hamstrung on future draft picks, you know, Bogdanovich will be an asset. Middleton will be harder to trade, but he'll be an asset. If Drew Holiday extends, he'll be an asset. So they're not locked into this roster. And I kind of like that just in case it doesn't work and they have to maneuver. Because once you trade, this is one of the things that, again, I was hard on the Lakers. They had nothing to trade last year. The Bucks will probably have not much small to trade. But if they had to do trades with any of these frontline guys, they probably could down the line. So I like that about it. I also think Bogdanovich is absolutely got a history of being nails in the clutch. His reputation in Europe is of an absolute killer under pressure. We didn't see it in the 3 years he played in Sacramento because he played in almost zero high pressure games. But go look at his EuroLeague and Team Serbia record. The guy delivers in the clutch, and I think that's underplayed. People don't know that about him. And if he brings that, he'll be extremely valuable because, let's just be honest, I don't want to be rude, but Eric Bledsoe is not known for delivering in that.
Well, then, I'm a big fan of Bogdanovich. You don't have to sell me on Bogdanovich. He's a creative player. He's a smart, heady ball handler and passer. And as you said, he is fearless. He's got a little bit of nasty to him, which you need. I'm a fan. And actually, you know, that part of the deal – I don't really have any issues with. I mean, I like Dante DiVincenzo. I think I'm probably a little lower on him than the Kings are and some other people who are fans of the deal from the Kings perspective are. I think that's a totally fine transaction for the Bucks. I think Bogdan is a really, really good player.
Also, the last time Drew Holiday was in the playoffs, he was seen dominating Damian Lillard at both ends.
And guarding KD, you know, well enough that you asked Durant about Jrue Holiday, and I did for a Jrue Holiday profile, and Durant will perk up and look at you in the eye and start talking about, like, there are five dudes. I mean, not Durant's just one player, but, you know, there are like three, four dudes in this league who, when they're guarding me, I mean, I'm Kevin Durant. When they're guarding me, I actually take notice of who they are because they're giving me some issues or they're making me really a little uncomfortable, and he's one of them.
And that right there is why I was high on these moves, because they got two guys. Granted, it wasn't Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Granted, it wasn't Anthony Davis. They got two guys who I think materially helped them in the postseason. They materially helped them under pressure. They materially helped them, you know, at both ends. That's why I liked it. Winning is an everyday mindset. And on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. And you'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts. Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
One thing on Sac. I know their fans were disappointed. It's my understanding, and granted, Monty is, you know, Monty McNair has been there very shortly, their new general manager. It's my understanding that they are looking to make deals where they have guys who may be more expensive and they may want to get younger. We'll see what, you know, right now Buddy Hield's value isn't high, so my guess is they keep him. But this is a move that indicates maybe a direction for Sacramento, which I know is not going to make Kings fans happy. But they didn't just do this willy-nilly as a favor to Giannis. There's something that they're doing here.
Well, you and I were emailing about this last week, potentially to write a story on it, and we didn't quite get to it because, you know, some other things have happened in the NBA. But There's something to that in terms of the messaging that agents and other executives have gotten from the Kings is not really we're rebuilding so much, like, but we're not rushing. We're not doing the thing everyone expects us to do and rush headlong to chase the eighth seed and overspend or make a future for present kind of trade. The timeline is more going to be aligned to Fox and Bagley than it is to the other
guys. And now DiVincenzo.
And so I think another guy, I'm not saying he will move, I'm just saying a guy that I would be calling about if I were a good team is Nemanja Bjelica. I think that's another guy who could be had for
his contract becomes guaranteed on Thursday.
Yeah, I think that's a guy that I would be looking at too. But yeah, you know, can I clarify one thing?
Yeah.
I mentioned before Giannis and would he sign something shorter than Supermax? So I just want to be super crystal clear on this. The Supermax that I'm texting with Bobby Marks now just to make sure is all or nothing 5 years. That's what the Supermax is. So when I say, can he sign a shorter deal? I mean, obviously not the Supermax, and there's no 2 year Supermax or 3 year Supermax.
That's right.
I don't know what he's going to do. What he signed.
You are not the only person who has brought that up to me, but the incentive for him to sign now is to get this $224 million.
Oh, for sure. No, I talked about this with Simmons last week or whenever the hell he was on my podcast. I said, you know, because Bill was very confident he wasn't going to sign it. And I said, well, look, there's something to signing a piece of paper that guarantees you $250 million today when the other teams a year from now can offer you 4 years and like $90 million less than that or something like that. And you can make up some of that, but not all of it. And you can always demand a trade later. Like, I didn't think it was ridiculous out of hand for him to just want the security, because people look at these stars and say, well, look at what James Harden just did. He turned down a 2 year, $100 million extension. They don't need security. Their talent is their security, but it's
James Harden will have made over $300 million by the time this current contract comes to an end. So just FYI on that. One more thing real quick. We talked about Sacramento real quick. I just want to say something real quick about Orlando. I feel Orlando is in the same boat. I know they squeaked into the playoffs last year. I think Orlando will make some moves heading younger as well. I think Evan Fournier, who just opted into his contract, is available on the trade market. Aaron Gordon is available on the trade market. I have not heard that Vucevic or Terrence Ross are, but it would not surprise me if Orlando makes a move in the same direction as Sacramento, just to sort of tail that piece of business. Both of those teams, I think, are in the same boat. We'll talk about some of the other trades. I mean, you know, it's funny.
Can I ask you one question before we get off the
bus? Yeah.
I'm not quite all the way there with you on that these guys are going to be plus trade value contracts once they re-sign. Once Holiday re-signs and Middleton right now, I think would be decently tough to trade for like really good plus value.
Yeah, he makes $33 million.
Yeah, maybe something neutral. This is sort of a rhetorical question, but I do think it matters, and it's going to annoy Bucks fans who are euphoric today. I just want to put it to you. How much better is Drew Holiday than Malcolm Brogdon?
Well, that's a completely different conversation.
But it's not different. It's connected.
Well, if you're saying that they should have kept Malcolm Brogdon, that's a different conversation.
That is a independent conversation. I'm just saying you gave up three picks and two swaps for a guy who I do think is better than Malcolm Brogdon. Let me be clear. I think he's a better two-way player than Malcolm Brogdon. But is he that much better than Malcolm Brogdon?
No, I think...
I'm just saying.
I think in retrospect, they would have re-signed Malcolm Brogdon if for no other reason than he has value, as he would have had value at that contract number.
And then your level of need and desperation is a little bit different than it was last night. But that said,
I agree with that.
The Bucks are better than they were yesterday.
Are they better than the Nets with James Harden? Assume that the Nets have to trade everything, that they re-sign Joe Harris and they add Serge Ibaka or a player of that caliber. Are the Nets with Harden, Kyrie? I mean, by the way, just think about this. Harden, Kyrie, Durant, Joe Harris, Serge Ibaka. They also have DeAndre Jordan, but Serge could play stretch minutes. It might be the best shooting team in theory of all time, even better than the Warriors. Is that that structure versus this Milwaukee structure? How do you feel about that?
It's very early. It's very early. We have no information on how these teams will look on paper. We don't even know who the hell is on the teams that we're talking about right now.
Right, but I just want you to think about that.
I think it's a very, very tough conversation. I probably would give a slight and totally meaningless, given we know nothing about these teams right now. It's about
there's going to be a fight for these minimum guys, and that's those guys.
Well, we also don't know what Durant looks like. We don't know like a lot of major things, but if Durant looks like 95% of what he was, I would probably lean a little bit towards that construction of the Brooklyn team, but it's a hell of a fight. I think the Bucks are better. And look, if this is what it takes to get Giannis to come back, then it's kind of like winning a championship almost. Like you just chalk it up.
Yeah. So from what I understand, they were haggling over the swaps and the draft picks. And Milwaukee paid a little bit more than they wanted to.
Agreed.
Whether it was an extra pick or an extra swap or whatever it was. But if they do get Giannis to sign, it's a momentous, momentous accomplishment. Had they won a championship, would have just been like the sweetener attached to it, but they haven't. They've had disappointing years. And again, having somebody who was sitting there in Cleveland when this happened with LeBron leaving after two similar type seasons, where they were, so good and then were disappointments in the playoffs. It's not a championship, but it's just below to keep a two-time MVP. I mean,
Giannis is the whole thing. Giannis is the arena, the restaurants outside the arena, the vibe,
They haven't been to the finals since 1975 when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was there. They haven't had a player of that caliber for 45 years. Well, I mean, he's been here for a few years, but 40 years it took them to get a player back of that caliber. Keeping him, even if it is for something shorter than another five, is huge. And not only that, this season was going to be, not going to be, this season likely was going to be very stressful if he, I mean, we're making the assumption he's signing. This season was going to be very stressful if he doesn't sign. And
or could still be.
It could still be very stressful, but if he signs, it changes everything.
Among the people it would have been stressful for or could still be stressful for if he does not sign it is Giannis himself, who has been the good guy, the white knight, the lovable dude, the guy who is trying to lift this small market team to the promised land, and all of a sudden would be asked every day about how are you feeling? What do you think?
Well, even if he wasn't asked every day, it would be discussed every day.
Yes.
Because I know that people have said he'll just say on the first day of the year, I'm not talking about it, but it doesn't work that way.
And his teammates are on edge all season too. I mean, that's just how this works.
Right. You know,
it's a story that they're going to be asked about every day. If it gets him to stay, go all in and let's do it. I think they made themselves better. I'm not sure how much better yet. I'm still sort of digesting it all because George Hill was a good player for them last year. Eric Bledsoe was a good regular season player. His playoff failures and struggles have been well documented. I get it. They have no depth. Maybe that's good for Bud to have no depth. He'll have to lean on the starters a lot more. I actually think that was a thought that crossed their mind in doing all of this. But I do think they're better. It remains to be seen how much better, but they are better. And this is a big moment for Jrue Holiday. This feels like the capper of his career. You know, he gets traded from Philadelphia to trigger the process. Injuries dog him there. And then early in New Orleans, the Anthony Davis thing goes haywire. That team can never get healthy, whether it's Ryan Anderson or Eric Gordon or Jrue himself or Tyreek Evans or on and on and on. It's just snake bit all the way through. Now he ends up here in this situation. I think it's a great moment for him.
Say two things. Number one, it's my understanding that Bogdan really wanted to play with Giannis, that he potentially could have had more money elsewhere. So he goes to Milwaukee, not a free agent destination. He goes to Milwaukee to play with Giannis. Jrue, from what I understand, the Pelicans, as they decided to trade him. By the way, why did the Pelicans decide to trade him? What was the precipitating event that they decided to trade him? I don't know the answer. Well, I guess we'll hear from David Griffin eventually on that.
Does it have to be one event? I think it could be a combination of lots of different things, right?
Yeah. Last year, this deal ended up being hard on the Pelicans. The Pelicans, from what I understand, really wanted a top 10 pick in this draft. They had a guy that they liked, and maybe they will get that top 10 pick. It's not over, but they really wanted to get a top 10 pick for Jrue Holiday. And some of the teams that they were negotiating with for Jrue Holiday were out there trying to get a top 10 pick to satisfy them. And they couldn't get that pick. And I also think that they thought Brooklyn and Philadelphia would have some interest. Well, Brooklyn and Philadelphia have maybe bigger fish to fry. So their bids were maybe not what the Pelicans were hoping. They were talking to Denver. We mentioned on your pod last night that we thought Denver thought they had made a very compelling offer. But they ended up, Griff ended up doing a draft pick deal, essentially. Now, I do think that he likes Bledsoe. I don't think he'll keep both Hill and Bledsoe. I think there's a market for George Hill. But it was kind of a rough deal for him to make. But from what I understand, Jrue Holiday had the freedom to talk with teams about whether he was willing to extend. And, you know, there were certain teams that he wasn't willing to extend with. And him going to Milwaukee, I mean, I don't think it's agreed to. I want to be clear about that. And they really can't do it until February. But I think he is open to extending. Otherwise, I don't think they do this deal, no matter how many picks were.
Clearly, and I think when you talk about what precipitated it, I think it's any number of things from Zion and Brandon Ingram being much younger than Drew Holiday to what turned out to be a great return being on the table. I mean, you're talking about five potential draft assets, and you can laugh about it and say, well, the Bucks draft picks are going to be crap as long as Giannis is there. But these picks are three of the five draft assets are 25, 26, and 27. Like, we don't know is the world going to be underwater in 2027? I don't know.
27, who knows? But what I'll say, just outstanding unprotected picks. That's a rough thing to have on your sheet. But what my point about all this is you have two guys who had options saying, I want to be in Milwaukee. You know, I will go to Milwaukee. I see a future for myself in Milwaukee. That is not a minor feat. It doesn't get you 2 points on the scoreboard. It doesn't get you a bye into the second round of the playoffs. But that is not nothing. That is Giannis Antetokounmpo as a drawing card. That is, you know, what do they say about star players? Come get guys to come play with you. I know that this isn't LeBron getting Anthony Davis. I recognize that. This isn't some of the star super teams that have been built, but this is Giannis drawing in these guys. And they paid a pretty penny. They paid a premium for it. It wasn't like it was, they were coming for nothing. But there's something to be said for that before we move on.
And I just want to say one more thing. One thing I've said from consistently, and I still believe it, is for all the noise, I've always said the most fun outcome for me as a neutral NBA person is for Giannis to stay in Milwaukee. I think these small markets have to have – it's better when they have a chance. It's better when the talent is a little bit more spread out. It's better when a place like Milwaukee has a moment that lasts for longer than a moment, which this is now hopefully going to last for them from their perspective, hopefully. And as hokey and romantic as it sounds – The Dirk title and titles of that ilk are more memorable because he stayed in that city for his entire career and wanted to win there and gave everything to win there. And the fans lived and died with him and felt his failures and felt pain along with him when he failed and felt his triumphs when he triumphed. Like, it just is. Like, that title to all NBA fans our age and probably 10 years younger stands out, not only because it was a one-time only thing, the Mavericks never won again, but because it felt cool. And I think that's what a Giannis title in Milwaukee would feel like. And I think that's healthy for the league, frankly. That's better to me. It's healthier than him going to Golden State or him going to whatever super team you want him to construct.
All right. I'll touch a few things here. Looking at some other things happening in the league. I think one of the most interesting things, you had the story today. Gordon Hayward was supposed to decide on his $34 million option for next season by 5 o'clock Tuesday. He and the Celtics agreed to push that back to, I think, 5 o'clock Thursday after the draft.
Correct.
Which leaves the Celtics the draft night to potentially move around using Gordon Hayward. It is a poorly kept secret that Gordon Hayward has been looking around at options for the last month. If he were to opt out of that contract, which is huge money, $34 million, not great for the Celtics. They lost Al Horford for nothing last year. They lose Gordon Hayward for nothing this year. It's not great asset wise. What do you make of Gordon Hayward and this decision and sort of what looks like the Celtics working with him, either opt in and they maybe trade him, or he opts out and maybe a sign and trade and leaving, you know, sort of agreeing to work together through the draft for it?
Yeah, I mean, all those options are on the table. Opt in, and I think the Celtics would love if he opted in and they could just keep him and figure it. I mean, they think he's a very good player, and he was a very good player for them last year when healthy.
I mean, this is probably surprising some fans. Those of us who are, you know, we've heard about this for a while. I've been talking to people about Gordon Hayward for weeks. This is probably surprising some fans, though, Zach.
I think it's been out there. The rumbling, I've talked about it. It's been out there. Maybe it's a little surprising, but I don't think so anymore, particularly not diehard Boston fans. What was I saying? Oh, Hayward. It's a fascinating situation. You know, they'd be thrilled, I think, if he opted in and just sort of played it out, which I think is it the most likely outcome? I don't know, but it's up there.
I don't know either.
And you know, our old colleague Chris Haynes wrote a story about the Hawks being a potential target for him. I wrote weeks ago, or I think I wrote it. Either I said it on a podcast with Bobby Marks, or I wrote it, or both. You know, that's going to be the leverage play for Gordon. You know, if he wants Boston's cooperation with an opt-in and trade or a sign and trade, he needs to convince them, I will just walk. I will opt out and walk somewhere. And
opt out away from $34 million. I don't think he's going to sign for $34 million.
And unfortunately for him, the teams that he can opt out and just walk to are not good. And are not contending teams anytime soon. And so, you know, it's not surprising to me that some Hawks noise came out today as a little nudge right when the option deadline gets extended. I think it's a fascinating situation. There are any number of places where he could perhaps end up. I don't know where he will end up, but it will be interesting to see.
Boston has been having conversation with teams trying to move into the top 10. Offering their picks. But Danny Ainge, a lot of times Boston does a lot of talking and then doesn't execute. I think Danny Ainge like probes around a lot. So I don't know whether, like, is Gordon Hayward the type of player that you can trade to move into that top 10? Is there, are they waiting to see if a certain player is available when a pick becomes available? I don't know. I mean, there's been a lot of teams that have tried to move into the top 10, Zach, in this last 7 to 10 days. And these teams aren't really looking to give up those picks, no matter what anybody says about this draft.
Yeah, people like the picks. Nobody is it, like the top three picks are like, you know, there's been all this trade noise, trade buzz about them, but people like the picks sort of below that and are happy to have them. And so, yeah, I agree with you. I'm just going through the list of teams in the top 10 in my head, like who would give their pick for Gordon Hayward. It's a tough match, particularly since a couple of those teams just have cap room to sign him if he wants to go there anyway. You know, it's tough to find the right match.
I can think of one.
That would give their top 10 pick for Gordon Hayward?
Well, it's hard to trade for him because he makes $34 million. You can't just give your pick. But I can think of a team in the top five that could be very interested in Gordon Hayward.
And who's that? Can you say them or no?
The Cavaliers of Cleveland.
Well, that's an interesting one because they were
Andre Drummond opted into his contract.
I have never gotten the vibes that yes, okay, so the deal you're proposing is Hayward for Drummond and number 5 or Hayward and 14 for Drummond and 5, something like that, right?
That's right.
That's an interesting one because Hayward for Drummond straight up is not something that I've ever gotten the understanding that Boston would do. They would need to be incentivized to do anything like that. Is 14 to 5? Is 14 to 5 enough of an incentive?
Well, they have two other first round picks too. I mean, maybe not 14.
But you know, Gordon was famously a Cleveland target the first time around in free agency.
It's a different front office.
But I have heard that affection for him and his game remains there. That's an interesting one. That Hayward Drummond construction has been bandied about here and there. I have not heard that much momentum behind it. But you seem to be indicating there could be momentum behind it, which is interesting.
Well, I think it depends on if the guy is available at 5 that the Celtics would want.
Sure. It could be an on the clock thing.
Yeah. So we'll see. Now, I am not a draft expert. I leave that to Gavoni and Schmitz. I will say that in talking to executives, the Chicago pick is a transformational pick for the lottery. People do not have a good feel for what Arturas Kanishvis is going to do in his first draft. There's a feel that Edwards, Wiseman, Ball, maybe in that order. Maybe there's a surprise, but I suspect in that order, 1, 2, 3, people do not have a good feel for what Chicago is going to do at 4. They've just let 2 of their point guards, Shaquille Harrison and Chris Dunn, they did not qualify them. They're going to be gone. Not that you're not drafting a point guard because you've got those guys, but they are in need of a point guard. So some people believe that it could be Tyrese Halliburton there. But Chicago, people don't know what Chicago's going to do. And the teams behind them at 5, 6, 7, 8, their decisions will hinge on what the Bulls do. That's my read on talking to people. I don't know if you have anything.
Well, I will say that my bet is Minnesota picks Edwards at 1. So I agree with you that that's the most likely.
Most of the league feels
yeah,
that.
Most,
but,
yeah.
But nobody's super comfortable.
No, it's not a bet that I would you know, bet a large portion of my life savings on or anything like that. Ball at three is interesting. That there has been, you know, there has been a little more of that buzz in the mocks. Some of the mocks have him there now. There was a moment where a Kongwu from USC was maybe going to be the pick at three. So we'll see. Charlotte is.
So something interesting has happened with Okongwu, who played with the Ball brothers at Chino Hills in California. There was a lot of momentum for him, and there's been some medical stuff that has been out over the last week. Some people say that is not a big deal. Somebody is just trying to put up a smokescreen, but Okongwu has been sliding around because of that. So I don't know what's true, but
yeah, no, Chicago has been a mystery, and what they do it for is going to obviously have a huge trickle down effect, and no one can figure out what they will do it for. So that's part of the reason why draft day is always such a fun day.
Now let's talk about the play of the week, the pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
All right, moving off the draft, I wanted to know how you felt about a trade that got sort of overwhelmed last night, but I felt was an interesting trade, both the reason Houston did it and what you thought about the price. But Trevor Ariza and 2 first-round picks for Robert Covington.
I didn't mind it for either team. I thought it was fine for either team. I mean, I had a quick reference to the Blazers on the podcast we did last night, where I was bullish on them making a move to fortify the power forward spot.
That's true. You did hit that one, and we also talked about, you know, if, you know, Covington potentially coming available. So we actually maybe sprinkled past that.
Yeah, one. I didn't necessarily expect it to be Covington, but, you know, 2 firsts is a lot. But Ariza, you have to kind of assume, is on his last legs, right? Robert Covington is in his prime. He's on a great contract for 2 more years, 12.1, 12.9, you know, the last of that Philly extension. So, you know, what is Portland picking, 16 in the draft tomorrow, and then the 2021 or the next pick after that, whatever it is. That's a fair price to me for that kind of upgrade. And for Houston, it's not like killer draft equity. I mean, you gave up Capella and a pick to get Covington. It's not killer draft equity, but it's also not bad. And like Robert Covington is not, I mean, you, like, it's possible the Bucks did, or the Pelicans didn't get a great pick in the Drew Holiday bonanza. They could all be picks in the 20s, right? Like, sometimes you just don't get great picks for people. And I thought that was a decent return for Houston, and a team that desperately just needs to not be completely hamstrung when it comes to their picks because of all the stuff they gave up for Russ. So I thought it was fine for both teams. It didn't. I actually think it's exciting for the Blazers, to be honest. I think he fits the Blazers really well. Their defense was awful. He can shoot threes. He can play off Dame and CJ. Doesn't need the ball at all. I have said before, I think Robert Covington, during the peak Robert Covington frenzy, had become fairly overrated. Like, and the book is out now that he's not a great one-on-one defender, and maybe not even a good one, but he's an elite team defender. He was blocking shots like a center in Houston. His three-point shooting is not what I think, again, the analytics people have cracked it up to be, but he's a good player who fits their team. And the Blazers, you know, we'll see what else they have cooking this offseason, but they're a good, solid team, and you get them one of the favorites above them in the Western Conference, gets them in the second round or something, and takes a sprained ankle or suffers a Damian Lillard multiple-game eruption. Like, they're a problem.
Well, so Houston, I don't know if this necessarily is like, okay, we're definitely trading Harden, but it was a move that I'll bet that I wasn't sure they were going to make at the start of the week. I'll put it that way. At least not for Ariza. They could have traded Covington, but not for Ariza and picks.
Yeah, everyone wanted to make it the first domino. Maybe it is. Maybe it's just like, we got to get some picks in the door. This guy's not a part of the – we're not playing the micro ball anymore. Let's just get some picks.
So, yeah, for sure. They don't have picks. So Tim McMahon did a story that came out tonight where he had a quote from a Rockets official that said, quote, "We're willing to get uncomfortable." In other words, just because Westbrook and Harden have made trade demands doesn't mean that we're going to acquiesce and we don't have a problem with them coming to training camp, even if they're not happy. I will say this, the Rockets are elite. And even though Daryl is gone, so there must have been backups helping him out with this. The Rockets are elite at shaping the narrative. That's a kinder way of saying spinning. I think leaking that Harden turned down a 2-year, $103 million extension was a shrewd move. This quote is setting a tone, not only sending a message to Harden and Westbrook, but also sending a message to any team out there that thinks it's going to catch them in some sort of distress deal. I'm not sure they can spin their way out of this situation, but.
Yeah, that's cool. Like, that's all cool. I don't think Sean Marks reads that story and is like, oh God, they're keeping James. Like everything has been thrown awry for me. I think it's cool to say that. Like, that's cool. Like, you should say that. And really, you know, maybe the message is not meant for Sean Marks or Daryl Morey or whatever GM you want to make up who's theoretically chasing James Harden. Maybe the message is meant for James Harden. And maybe the message is meant for Russell Westbrook to a lesser extent. But maybe the message is, you really want to do this? Like, just, we touched on this topic last night. Like, are you gonna sit out? Like, what are you gonna do? Like, come play. You want to play? I don't think you want to go through the scrutiny of whatever the end game of that scenario is. Maybe the message is for the players too. Whether it is well received or not, or whether it's a smart move or not, is a different story. But it could be not for the James Harden suitors, or it could be for both the audiences.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's the Kobe path we talked about last night. You could just say, we're not trading you. But, you know, they're managing the message, and I think doing okay. It doesn't dig them out of the hole, but they're doing okay. What did you think of the reported, which I think McMahon has confirmed, that there was at least some cursory discussion about Russell Westbrook for John Wall, which we sort of threw out in passing last night, kind of quasi-joking. But
I can't remember exactly what trade it was, but there was a trade between, I want to say, the Hornets and the Pistons, centering around Ben Gordon and Corey Maggette. I may be getting the details wrong, where I called it the most depressing trade in NBA history, because it was just like the players weren't relevant. It was just all about like unwanted salaries. And like, for players that had become sort of like NBA nerd, beloved players in their primes. And this reminds me of that, where it's just like, we've really arrived there where the teams with those two contracts just call each other. I'm just making this up. Just call each other and be like, how you doing? How you feeling tonight? How many drinks are you into the eat? You want to get frisky? You want to get crazy? You up?
Tommy Shepard, one of the great guys in the NBA. Can we agree on that? General manager of the Wizards.
No question.
Tommy, you up?
I may be getting the details of that trade wrong. I know Ben Gordon was in it. There's some trade where I was like, this is it. It's not going to get. And then you had the Biombo Mozgov trade, where like the 26, yeah, the poster children for the 2016 cap spike, yeah, bonanza were traded for each other. Like, maybe that has surpassed it. I don't know.
Well, stay tuned.
I'm looking it up now. Don't end the podcast. Give me another, get another topic okay. while I look up this trade because it's going to drive me crazy.
So Golden State Warriors, you think they, I think they've had a number of offers for number two. Some of them have been interesting. I've heard some of them. I just don't want to be that guy who puts it out there, but, you think they go ahead and stay in draft?
I don't know. You know, it's hard to know. I haven't, there's been so much noise about these two teams at the top of the draft.
I know.
I haven't landed anywhere yet. I mean, I'm sure they're still talking. There are some, I've pitched all of them. I've made up every fake trade for the Warriors at number two. I think some of them are reasonable. Some they are reasonable. They don't like, some are unreasonable. Some of the rumors are I think totally unfounded. So that leaves me, I did not find a veteran star that they could get for number two. I kicked around Drew Holiday trades. That ship has obviously sailed. Sure, stuff is out there, but the confusion and my inability to land anywhere where I felt solid with what they would do and what they were planning to do leads me to believe that if I had to guess that they
probably feel the
that
same
they
way.
Make the pick, that they just make the pick, particularly if Wiseman is there.
Yeah, I think they feel the same way. Also, I think teams that were preparing for Giannis 2021, Miami, Dallas, Golden State, maybe New York, although New York doesn't have much to choose
Toronto.
From. Toronto. I think they, you know, I don't know how drastically it could affect their plans Friday, but it could be plan B for.
Well, I think of those teams, Miami is the one that maybe is affected the most because I think Dallas is already trying to hunt for good players anyway, figuring if he picks us, we'll just make it happen. Toronto has the Van Vliet thing. They can take care of that either way and still have been fine theoretically to make things happen for Giannis. Miami's got Dragic and Crowder, and they have the Bam Adebayo max sitting there where they could have played the cap hold game, wait a year and be a cheaper cap hold. And you know, as I've said before, Bam and Giannis have the same agent. Yeah, that's tricky. Tricky, and now that becomes perhaps simpler for them at this point.
True. All right. Well, I don't know whether tomorrow will be super interesting or not. I 7 or 8 days ago, I felt like there was going to be a lot of action on draft night, but we've had so much happen, and who knows what will happen as soon as I mean, I feel like as soon as we wrap this, stuff will start to
happen. If it does, let's just jump back on. If it happens before 11, it's 10 right now. If it happens before 11, let's jump back. And just for the record, in June 2012, so probably at the draft, the Charlotte Bobcats, first of all, that makes every trade 15% more depressing right off the bat. The Bobcats acquired Ben Gordon in a top 14, a protected pick that became less protected as the years went on, in exchange for Corey Maggette, who went to the Pistons. And the pick became Noah Vonleh to just to circle out the cycle of depression. That's the trade. I don't remember exactly. So my guess is Corey Maggette had one more, or I'm sorry, Ben Gordon must have had one more year, or Corey Maggette rather had one more year left on the deal than Ben Gordon or whatever the mechanics would have been. But it was very depressing. And that's all.
On that note, thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective podcast, Low Post Crossover. Zach, thank you. Thank you to our producer, Troy. Thank you to our producer last night, Dan. Thanks for listening. We got a lot more coming. We have no idea. You could probably be laughing as this podcast closes for what we didn't know when we posted it. So be easy on us. Otherwise, enjoy the draft. We'll talk to you soon.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.